Boris Johnson's stunning victory in the UK general election leaves little doubt now that there will be a Brexit deal done in the coming weeks. And with Brexit off the table as a political issue, what justification is there for the current government here to continue in office until the middle of next year? Well, there are a number of issues which have still to be resolved. Most pressingly, the restoration of the Stormont power-sharing executive. Talks on that begin tomorrow. They'll be co-chaired by the Taoiseach Simon Coveney, who joins me now from our Cork studio. Taoiseach, thanks for joining us again.
Hi, Justin. Thanks for having me on.
We'll come to Stormont in just a moment, but first, we learned today that the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin, has written to your party leader, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, seeking a date for the general election next year. Is he going to give him that date?
Well, look, I mean, the first thing I can say on this is that, you know, 18 months ago, the Taoiseach wrote to Micheál Martin requesting that they agree a date in May to provide stability and certainty around the date of an election. So Micheál Martin's a bit slow off the mark on this issue. But, you know, this is a matter for the Taoiseach. I'm not going to add to more speculation around the date of an election. The Taoiseach has made it clear that he's happy to meet Micheál Martin at the end of this Dáil term to talk about these issues. That's effectively the end of this week. So I think we should leave it to those two political leaders to do that. But I mean, the Taoiseach's been very consistent on this. It's been Micheál Martin has been the one who hasn't shown any consistency on this issue to date.
Micheál Martin, in his letter, quoted in the Sunday Independent today, said, "Nothing positive can be achieved if we allow a growing escalation of speculation." And he said on News Talk, "It's not tenable for the Dáil to operate on a week-by-week basis, that there needs to be some certainty." Do you agree at least with that?
But sure, that's why we have a confidence and supply agreement. That's why I think it's unfortunate that we've heard some Fianna Fáil voices coming out suggesting that they won't respect that confidence and supply agreement should there be another motion of no confidence put down in a minister if people are, you know, playing politics with these issues. So look, we have always looked for stability, particularly because of the Brexit challenge. My focus is not on an election right now. It's on being in Belfast tomorrow evening, meeting my counterpart to try and make progress. And it's also on continuing to try to steer Ireland to safe ground in the context of the Brexit challenges that we face. And you know, in your introduction, you said that, you know, the Brexit issues may now be put to bed. Nothing could be further from the truth, actually. If we get the withdrawal agreement ratified through the British Parliament and through the European Parliament in January, and the UK leaves the EU at the end of January, which looks like will now happen, we then move into phase two of Brexit, which, believe me, will dominate political discourse
for
at least another 12 months.
Yes, and isn't that all the more reason then to have a new government in place to deal with those issues?
Yeah, so that is why I think you will find the Taoiseach looking for clarity here and wanting to provide that for the country. Our focus will be on trying to get the timing right of a general election that's in the best interests of the country, not playing party politics.
And would you agree that in the best interest of the country, it would be in the best interest of the country to have a government in place early on in the new year to deal with that second phase of Brexit, the trade talks?
Well, look, that's a matter for the Taoiseach, and it's a matter for discussion, I think, between the two big parties who effectively have maintained stable government when smaller parties were looking to undermine that. To be fair to Fianna Fáil, I think the confidence and supply arrangements have worked, and in stark contrast to the political chaos that we've seen in Westminster over the last number of years, we've seen, I think, mature, stable politics dealing with some very, very complex issues through the Brexit process. And I think that's to the credit of both big parties. But now I think we need to leave it to the two leaders to discuss when the appropriate time is for an election.
Okay. And you, as you mentioned, have other things on your agenda, not least the talks in Stormont tomorrow or getting the restoration of the Stormont executive tomorrow. Does the fact that the DUP are no longer needed in Westminster, does that make it easier to get a deal now?
That remains to be seen, but I think that all parties in Northern Ireland recognise, particularly actually after this election, when the feedback from the ground is to all parties, certainly from the information that I have, is that people want their government back. They want political decisions being made for Northern Ireland in Northern Ireland. And we really have had 3 years of political stagnation now in Northern Ireland in a way that's been very damaging and polarising, not only for political parties, but communities as well. And so we need to get the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement functioning again, working for people so they can make, you know, even basic political decisions around healthcare, education, housing, yes, infrastructure. These are things that have all been put on hold because the parties have not been able to agree a foundation, if you like, to set up a stable assembly and functioning executive again. And that's effectively what I've been working on for 2 years with the parties now, and more recently with Julian Smith, the Secretary of State. And if he's reappointed tomorrow by Boris Johnson, we will be ready to go this week to work with the parties and to help them get that foundation in place for a stable executive, which I think all parties have now recognised, including the DUP, that they would like to move on, yes, and achieve.
And we've heard some of the parties say that what's needed is a different type of Stormont this time round, because last time round it wasn't fit for purpose, that there needs to be an opposition of some sort to hold the executive to account. Is that likely, or do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, one of the problems in the last executive was that there was an opposition. It wasn't an all-party executive, unfortunately. And so what you had was Sinn Féin and the DUP in the executive, and the UUP and the SDLP and the Alliance effectively in opposition. And that didn't work. What we're trying to do is to get back to the thinking of the Good Friday Agreement, which is to recognise that people need to come together. They need to deal with a recognition of the difference in Northern Ireland that is very, very difficult in politics to accommodate. They need to try to deal with legacy issues, which are painful and complicated. And the way to do that, in my view, is an all-party executive where people, even though they find it difficult because of different identities and different visions for the future as regards Northern Ireland, but that they work together in an executive together. And that is what we are trying to achieve now, as opposed to trying to create divisions in Northern Ireland with a government and an opposition, which I think would make it much more difficult. So, look, that's for the parties to decide, though. I mean, the mechanisms do allow parties to go into opposition if they want to in a functioning assembly and not be in the executive. But my strong preference, and I think the preference of the majority of parties in Northern Ireland, is for an all-party functioning government in Northern Ireland that can work together and try to put the difficulties and polarisation of the last 3 years behind us and start to actually focus on healing rather than division in Northern Ireland.
All right. I just want to ask you briefly, Tánaiste, about the next phase of the Brexit process, which, as we've mentioned, will begin soon. And that's the negotiation of a trade deal between the EU and the UK. Do you agree with Minister Michael Creed, who says that Irish fishermen must be allowed access into British waters as a quid pro quo if Britain wants its financial firms and its airlines access to the EU after Brexit?
Well, I think this is going to be one of many, many very difficult negotiating issues for the next round of Brexit, because it's not just a question of achieving a free trade agreement. And, you know, the hope is that we can have a free trade agreement that's tariff-free, that's quota-free, and that limits any friction in that trade as much as possible. But on top of that, there needs to be bilateral deals between the EU and the UK on security, on data, on fishing, on aviation, and on a whole range of other issues. So this is going to be a complex negotiation, and nothing will be agreed until everything is agreed, including on fishing. And that is why I think Michael Creed is right. We will drive a hard bargain there, and it will be linked to getting agreements in many, many other areas where the UK needs agreement. But the one thing I would say is that, and you know, Boris Johnson has said that he wants to try to get all of this done in 11 months. I think that is very, very ambitious, if not somewhat unrealistic. But one way or another, Ireland's role in the next round of Brexit will be to try to achieve the closest possible relationship between the UK and the EU. That's good for Ireland. We believe it's good for Britain.
Okay.
And we'll work to that end.
All right. Tánaiste and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, thank you very much for joining us from our Cork studio. Now, after a big week in British politics and some possible end in sight to Brexit, how likely is it that we'll have elections here early in the new year? Well, we'll address some of those questions shortly with Paul Cunningham and Pat Leahy, who are here with me in studio. But first, let's listen to some of the sounds of the past few days.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Thank you all very much for coming this morning. Absolutely. Thank you all. Thank you all very much for coming. Thank you to all of you for your incredible hard work. Nobody wanted this election in the run for Christmas, but what an incredible thing you have done.
The mood is right. The spirit's up.
I will discuss with our party to ensure there is a process now of reflection.
Boris Johnson has no right, firstly, to take Scotland out of the EU, and secondly, no right to block the Scottish people choosing their own future. The party's
on. I'm focused on what I've been saying, which is that I want to represent everybody in North Belfast.
It's been my great honour, as I say, to have fulfilled this role for so long, and I continue to wish and work for the very best for North Belfast, for Northern Ireland.
There's 34 days, if you like, to have an orderly wind down. I think Easter, to me, is the natural cut-off point of this Dáil.
We're looking at a February election, are we?
Or at least not necessarily. But, you know, my preference has always been for a summer election, for lots of different reasons. But that may not be my call.
Let's go out and get on with it. Let's unite this country. Let's spread opportunity to every corner of the UK with superb education, superb infrastructure and technology. Let's get Brexit done. But first, my friends, let's get breakfast done too. Thank you all. Thank you all.
Some of the voices from the past few days there, with a little help from Paul McCartney. We're joined by the John Lennon and Ringo Starr of political journalism in studio. That's otherwise known as Irish Times political editor Pat Leahy and our own political correspondent Paul Cunningham. Gentlemen, you're very welcome and thanks for joining us. Paul, to you first, developments today which may have an impact on the timing of the next election in this country. A letter from Micheál Martin to Leo Varadkar. What's he saying in it?
He's basically suggesting that they sit down. He's saying that we can't have, you know, huge fluctuations rippling through the Dáil. It can't survive on a week-by-week basis. On that scenario, what would be best is if the two leaders would agree on a timing for an election. And he goes further and suggests that that would be sort of towards the end of April. Mr. Martin has been writing letters to Leo Varadkar before. We had an open letter when Leo Varadkar was first appointed. Mr. Varadkar has also written back to Leo Varadkar has written to Micheál Martin before, suggesting that they agree on the date for an election. I think it was October, not of last year, but the previous year. So this has been played out in public, and you can see from the Taoiseach's comments, once again, he's saying that Fine Gael will think of the country, not of Fianna Fáil. So we're none the wiser as to whether or not the two men are going to be able to agree on a date. My conclusion would be that it's probably in their best interest that they do.
What do you think, Pat?
I think what we're seeing now is a sort of a delicate dance with the two men sort of circling one another. The crucial bit that we don't know yet, and I think we don't know it because the decision has not been reached, is when does Leo Varadkar want this election to be? I think he has two broad options, one in the middle of February. There are strong arguments for that in favour of that date from within Fine Gael, particularly because it is close to the Brexit date, which will now, in the wake of the British general election result, will take place at the end of January. So an election immediately after that, which could be called in January when the Dáil returns after the Christmas recess, gives Fine Gael, they believe, that advantage, or at least some people within Fine Gael believe, that advantage of having it close to Brexit and therefore seeking to get credit from the voters for the government's management of Brexit. The other option is to run out the clock on the Dáil, as Micheál Martin suggests, until Easter. Call it either around Easter. Easter is the 12th of April. To call it when the Dáil comes back, or the Dáil doesn't come back after that, and to have it at the end of April or into the middle of May. And I think that the Taoiseach has not decided yet which of those he wants. He keeps making the point that, you know, it might not be up to him when the election is, but if he plays it to choose one of those dates, I think he can get what he wants. As to which of them he wants, that's the question at the moment.
Do you think he can? Because he's not exactly the master of his own destiny, is he? I mean, if he decided to run down the clock, as you say, what's to stop Sinn Féin or another party tabling a motion of no confidence? And it would be very difficult then, you would imagine, for the government to stay in power. It would be very difficult for Fianna Fáil to support the government to stand on the deck of the Titanic as it goes down.
Yeah, okay. So certainly the February option is within the Taoiseach's power. We know that he can come back. I think the Dáil will be back about the 15th of January. He could call a general election. Then he goes to the park without the Dáil actually sitting or on the first day of sitting. So that option is within his...
Or without having to talk to Micheál Martin.
Indeed, and that's entirely within his... entirely within the Taoiseach's power. The other option, if he wishes to go for late April into May, is more problematic for him. But it is, I think, deliberable. Implicit in what Micheál Martin's approaches over recent days has been, I think, that he wants to go longer. He wants to go until April or until May. Now, if the Taoiseach agrees that with Micheál Martin, I think it is hard to see independents pulling down the government for an election in February when one is guaranteed in May. It would mean that the Taoiseach would have to go to the independents concerned and say, this is when we want to have the election. Will you continue to support the government with your votes? It's a relatively small number of independents. He needs the support of 3, possibly 4 of them to keep the government in office. I think that is possible. I think it would be hard for the independents to pull down that government on a motion of no confidence in February when an election is guaranteed
for a
in a few
weeks.
Months.
Exactly. Yeah.
Paul, he does have a little bit of leeway too, because you'd imagine that Sinn Féin won't want to pull the trigger on any motion of no confidence while the Stormont question remains unresolved. So they'll want to be in government in Stormont before they go to the country here, won't they?
It's widely believed that within Sinn Féin circles that they've made their own assessment and that their voters would much prefer, and they feel that they'd be vulnerable if it was the case that Stormont was still not in office, and that it would be better for them to be seen to be acting. Indeed, any time you look at leaders' questions and when Leo Varadkar is giving answers to Sinn Féin TDs, he constantly says, but, you know, you're not working hard. And then he starts referring to problems that are happening in Northern Ireland, saying you walked away from responsibility. So it seems likely that Sinn Féin would want that to happen before they would try and present any form of no confidence government. They can't, or no confidence motion. They can't do it in Owen Murphy. That's already happened, and that can't happen for another 6 months. But if you're looking at Simon Harris and health, that would be the next target.
A hint of trouble brewing for Fianna Fáil today in the Sunday Independent, a story about footage showing Lisa Chambers sitting in Timmy Dooley's seat during Dáil votes back in January. Is that going to be a problem for Fianna Fáil? What are they saying about that?
Well, first, I think this is like a washing through of a clearly widespread practice which has brought the Parliament into disrepute. So this isn't one incident, this is part of a much wider problem, which the Ceann Comhairle, Seán Fáil, is being very clear that is a huge problem. He's immediately instituted a change where TDs have to sit in their seats and parties who have whips have to ensure that people who are sitting in the seats are the right people. So we've gone through this already. So what we're looking here as something historical goes back to January of the year, in which it appears that Timmy Dooley is not sitting in a seat. He says he's somewhere else where in the chamber. He's checked his notes and he's there in the Dáil chamber. And Lisa Chambers is sitting in a seat and votes are recorded for Timmy Dooley. Now, what Lisa Chambers has said in a statement to this week was that Timmy Dooley has confirmed she was in the chamber. And this is no different to what other multiple ministers and TDs were doing. And that is a fact, because both Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin have both said that on occasions they have voted for other people in the Parliament. So how far this one is going to go is unclear.
She said in her statement, on the day in question, you can see many other TDs in different seats. This was entirely normal and people moved about throughout the voting block, so I am unsure why I'm being singled out in this regard. And she said that Timmy confirmed he was in the chamber like everyone else.
But the reason why she is sort of in the eye of the storm is that because she has also been going through a process in relation to irregular voting in the Dáil. So that's why, I think.
Pat, last word to you on this. Is this going to create another problem for Fianna Fáil, or is it like Fianna Fáil are saying, an attempt to distract from the Dara Murphy controversy?
I think it is a bit of a problem for Fianna Fáil. I'm not sure how great it is, but it serves to confirm an impression of laxness and looseness with the Dáil rules. And we saw last week Fianna Fáil senators were in trouble over the questions raised about Fianna Fáil senators who had not attended for votes on days that they were fobbed in and clearly engaged in activities elsewhere. I think the hope in Fianna Fáil is that there is sort of that voters believe, look, they're all at this, which they were to a certain extent. It's just unfortunate for that party that many of the most high-profile examples of it were in their party.
Just a full stop on that. I think it's worth saying that the Doyle's Ethics Watchdog was finalised earlier on this week, and it determined that while Fianna Fáil's Lisa Chambers had voted incorrectly in a colleague's seat, it had been done inadvertently. Now, we'd reported that it had been that a finding of negligence had been made against her. That was incorrect. It was that it had been done inadvertently, so it's best to mention that as well.
All right. Paul Cunningham and Pat Leahy, thank you very much both for joining us.